Hello, hi everybody. Thanks for joining us on Ask the Expert. Today we are talking about notebooks in VS Code. So if you're back from VS Code Day, welcome back. If you're new, welcome for the first time. So go ahead and start getting your questions in the chat here. I have Rich with me today. He'll go ahead and give a quick intro on himself and some background.
Hi, my name is Rich Chino. I've been working at Microsoft for 14 years, and the last 3 years, I've been working on this notebook extension for VS Code so that we can support data scientists inside of VS Code. That's what we're going to talk about today.
I went ahead and brought Rich with me, and Don is in the chat who's going to be answering some additional questions. So we have the big guns here today as well. We also do have a poll for you guys as we get started and you guys start coming up with some questions. So let's start getting those up. Let's see. We can start with the first question while we're working on getting that up.
Okay, so do you want to talk about what Jupyter is, what Jupyter Notebooks and VS Code is?
Yeah, so a Jupyter Notebook is an interactive programming and computational document, and it supports mixing executable code, equations, visualizations, and narrative text, for example. So if we can share screen really quick and show what one looks like in VS Code, we can start to see some notebook components here. So here we can see a notebook in VS Code, and what Rich has open right now is actually the input part of a cell. And he writes something like x equals 4. He can run this cell. And if he runs the value of x next,
Well, come on, this was working 10 minutes ago.
that's how demos work, Rich. They work 10 minutes before you got a show. There we go. All right. Patience brings us everything we need. So as you can see, Rich ran that second cell, and then we see the output is actually 4. So a Jupyter notebook basically combines these components. It lets you run code iteratively and make tweaks. And this is how you can see progress really quickly in a notebook. And that's what makes it a little bit different from a traditional Python script, for example, where if you make minor tweaks, you have to rerun the entire code. Whereas the Jupyter notebook will store and cache things such that you can make tweaks much faster.
I was going to demonstrate here that we also have intelligence and errors. So you can see this error here while you're typing, and we also have intelligence. Basically, everything that's available in a normal editor.
Our second question that's come up is why should we use Jupyter notebooks in VS Code? So that actually feeds off perfectly where you're just explaining some of the other features we have.
Yeah, well, one of the other advantages too is that all your code is in one spot. So if I had some other module, can work on here. And I can just go in here and import it. So you're basically working on the notebook at the same time you're just working on Python code or anything else that you happen to use in an IDE. Well, the other
Another,
thing,
oh,
sorry,
Rich, another
go ahead.
thing I think would be important to show. I think a lot of people are always really, really excited about table of contents.
Oh, yeah.
VS Code supports.
So we added table of contents support to it. This is letting me jump around in this notebook I was working on to figure out a plot of death rates per country. I was trying to figure out if the happiness index mapped to the death rate at all. Turns out they kind of do. So you can see you can jump around it using the markdown. You can also, if I have that turned on or not, I don't think so. That one. I can also, it also will include the code cells if you want to, but by default it doesn't. And you can still navigate by all the different code cells this way too.
Are we able to also show terminal integration within VS Code?
Oh yeah, sure. That's a cool one. So if I do this. Did I type that in right? Why is this not running again? And then I can go here. Do this. Go here. Was just that a new cell? You can see that these two are interacting with each other. So whatever you could do in the terminal, it's also in the same system, I guess, IDE.
I have another question for you, Rich. And right now in notebooks, we don't currently have a full debugging support, but we do have the interactive window, which is an experience that can be used for debugging. Can you show us a little bit of that?
Sure. So this is probably a bad example. Let's create a new one. The interactive window works with Python files by basically running the code in a Python file and outputting whatever would be output for Jupyter output in a separate window over here. So you can see the same thing here. Now you can also debug these things. And now I can step, well, this wasn't very useful, but I can step through this code. I'm going to do this. Now I can step through this code. I can watch X over here. You can use the debugger. You can also see it's outputting the output here too. So it's something that's more complicated. Let's see, I can try doing this one too. You can debug the different steps on this too.
And we have plans in the future to have full debugging support within the notebook, but for the time being, this is a really, really helpful tool for people using notebooks to run in the interactive window.
Yeah, I don't see the widget output shouldn't be here. Well, that worked before too, but demo gods.
The demo gods, they strike every time.
Okay.
Yeah, we also have support to connect to remote servers.
Oh yeah. I'm not actually gonna have that ready. Since we already do it here, and then I guess I could start Jupyter Notebook locally.
Yeah, you don't have to necessarily demo this one, Rich, but just to show people where they can start connecting, where they can click to get that process started would be good.
Okay.
We also have, so you can also connect to a remote Jupyter server, and that's just through the notebook UI, but we also have support for remote SSH connections through another extension, so you can connect in both ways. Well, it looks like the answer that. Oh, interesting. Okay. So far I'm seeing about 29% on VS Code so far, 43% on Jupyter Lab, and 0 for the rest. I'm assuming these will change a little bit. Oh, 29 haven't used notebooks yet. So a lot of you guys are very, very new. Welcome.
So it looks like we did have a question from Kevin O about adding MB Convert support. That's actually already supported. I don't know if I can share, I can show it working. assuming I don't end up with demo problems again. So from here, if I just do export, export it to any of these different things, so it's converted into a Python script. Hopefully, it actually can see that. And you can see that it turns it back into this thing that we can then run in the interactive window if you wanted to do it that way again.
And Rich, for the people who, for the people who might have missed how you got to that export, since about 30% of them are new, could you show them how to access the command palette?
Sure. So anywhere inside of VS Code, if you hit Control Shift P.
Oh, go ahead and share really quick. We're not following you.
Control Shift P, it will bring up this command palette, which lets you type in different commands. It works on just about any window. It's also under View Command Palette. So it does the same thing. So it's doing the export again. There's a lot of things that you find that way, like in here, you can split a cell if you want to. Doesn't look like it worked. Those are also on the right click, or yeah, on the right click menu.
And there's also the export options are also in the notebook toolbar. So if you actually go over to the top right, there is an icon that you can also click just in case you forget about the command palette. That will allow you to export Python script, HTML, or PDF as well. And while that's running, Rich, I do have another question. Another one came in. Are other .NET languages supported in the notebook, like PowerShell?
Yes. Let's see. I can probably get one to work right now. PowerShell. I don't know hardly any PowerShell. I guess not. Maybe this should work. I guess not. I don't do any PowerShell, so, but it should work. If you wanted to do C#, that would be easier for me to remember. Oh, yeah, I'm to use the TypeScript. So we support all the kernels that are supported by Jupyter. That's essentially how we come up with this list. And we also generate kernels on the fly for any Python interpreters installed on the machine. That's how I have these Conda ones.
And overall, Jupyter supports over 44 different languages. And what we recommend is if you are deciding to work with Python, we recommend that you just download the Python extension, and it comes with the Jupyter extension. But if you're using other languages, you can just download the Jupyter extension. All right, we got another question. Are you ready, Rich?
Sure.
How about being able to selectively collect cells, or better to use gather first to a new notebook and then export?
That sounds like a loaded question. We do have support for something called gather. I don't think I have it installed, actually.
While Rich is grabbing that, I can explain a bit how Gather works. So Gather will only collect the necessary code to generate one cell or that cell's output. So let's imagine you have cells 1 through 10, and you want to gather all the code that's required to create 10, but some of those first 9 aren't absolutely, quote unquote, on that 10th cell. And then you will have a new notebook or a new Python script, that depends on your settings, that will be generated that only grabs the relevant code required to generate that 10th cell or that 10th cell's output, which is what Rich is trying to demo real quick here.
Yeah, hopefully my goofy notebook will actually work. Looks like it worked. Yeah, so then there'll be this little button here that ends up on the toolbar for the cell. You click that. Didn't I run these cells?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have to restart. Oop. That might cause my screen share to go away.
That's okay. We can probably leave it.
Essentially, you click that button and it gathers that notebook or gathers the necessary code for that cell into a separate notebook.
To answer the second half of that question, we are looking to have support for multi-cell selection in the future. So you should be able to basically do it both ways. Your question was, do I want to gather to a new notebook and then export, or can I select multiple cells and then export? Once we have support for multi-cell selection, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to export. I like when people look into the future, they know what's coming. All right, I see another one. Rich, are you ready for the next question?
Sure.
Yeah, what's there. The best way? Oh, did it work?
Yeah.
Perfect. You can finish that one if you want.
So you can see the pip install is not listed there. There's probably a couple of things where I was doing df head up here that. So you see it only gathered the stuff that actually was useful in generating this cell here that I could gather on. All right, sorry. Go ahead for the next question.
It snuck up on us. It started working. So the next question is, what's the best way to share a notebook?
Well, I guess that depends on your situation. There are a number of ways you can share a notebook. The easiest way is just to send somebody a file, but then you're not really sharing the changes in the file. What I have set up here is this is actually submitted to GitHub. And so you can check in code and then actually share the code that way. This is a good opportunity for us to show something else that VS Code supports that is diffing for notebooks. So you can see I changed the language and the metadata here. I added this, and it shows the outputs here too. So it doesn't show the JSON diff, well, except for the metadata. You don't have to look at that. But it does show the diff for the code and for the outputs. I think this one might be a good example too. Oh yeah, this is showing the outputs and the metadata. But I don't see any changes in the code, so I guess I didn't make any changes in the code. I think this is still a work in progress because it seems like you'd want to skip the metadata changes for execution order. Those aren't really that interesting. Well, you can see this one. This is kind of cool. Yeah, so we can probably skip diffing this. Maybe, I don't know, maybe make it an option.
Yeah. And for sharing notebooks, you already touched a little bit on that, but the export features, those are pretty useful for sharing, especially if, it depends on the type of sharing you're doing. But because we have support for IPy widgets, which we know are interactive, if you export to HTML, for example, you can keep that interactive ability. Or if you're okay with something static, you can export to PDF and email it to somebody or host it somewhere. It's up to you. But those are helpful for sharing as well. And then also we're working on live share support, which is exciting. So that should help the collaboration, the ability to share notebooks if you're working with someone while you're sharing those notebooks as well. And that's you don't have to demo that one, Rich. That one is definitely a work in progress. We know that one is still in its infantile stages. But as of right now, you can see the notebook, basically, if you're a guest and you're coming, you can see the notebook that the host has. And as a guest, if the host allows it, you can run cells and you can edit cells that are already there. And we have plans to add a lot more functionality, such as obviously adding, deleting cells, etc. such that both host and guest have the same capabilities on the same notebook, which we think will improve collaboration greatly for notebooks and sharing them in general too. Rich, what about GitHub? The hot topic. What about GitHub and notebooks?
Well, I mean, you saw the diff and you can submit these in there. The other thing that GitHub is supporting that's in beta right now is you can open your GitHub repo inside of VS Code on the web. You don't actually need to install the VS Code client at all. It's something called Code Spaces that will allow you to view notebooks and do, you know, you can run notebooks inside of GitHub. So that makes it super easy to share stuff and work on things without ever having to install anything. I don't know if that's where you were going with that, Claudia, or not, but.
Yeah, of course, always. All right, we have another question. It's coming in. What's coming next? Touched a little bit on these. I mentioned it a little bit earlier, we have multi-select. We also plan to have a full debugging experience for notebooks. We are going to be improving our kernel management as well as improvements to remote support for notebooks. We also have notebook templates. That's a personal favorite of mine. And we're working on comments for notebooks as well. So if you guys want to type in the chat, if any of those sound extra exciting to you, let us know which ones and why. Rich, which one's your favorite? What are you looking forward to most out of that list that we're going to be working on?
Kernel management and remote. That's the thing that really is a pain right now for me. I run a notebook and then I come back tomorrow and I'm like, oh, where was I? I lost my notebook because I closed VS Code. I left my state, but I want to be able to make it so that the kernel stays around even though VS Code's not there. Right now, people have to work around that by basically creating their own Jupyter notebook server and they run that is the thing that they connect to, and then they leave that open, and then they close down VS Code or close down the browser. And well, actually, if you close down, yes, if you close down the browser, the kernels that we start on the Jupyter server will stick around until you close down the Jupyter server. So that's their way to maintain persistence of kernels. But then you have to remember to close it, and there's no, well, I guess there is a way to see what kernels are running, but you have to go into another app instead of using VS Code to find what the kernels are running. And I'd love for us to be able to have kernel management and remote support that lets you see all the things that are running on the remote box inside VS Code. I also think commenting is pretty cool too. That's kind of, I think the idea is it's going to be like when you comment on a Word doc, and this way you can send comments around to your colleagues to say, hey, I'm not sure about this graph. Does this plot look correct to you? Are you seeing the correlation that I'm seeing? And you can add that into the notebook, and then you just either check it into GitHub or you can send it around to other people. You can stick it on Dropbox. It doesn't matter where, but the comments will live within the metadata of the notebook so that you can, it's just like a Word commenting thing where you can just keep them there and they'll be appropriate over time. I think that one sounds pretty cool too.
I'm excited about that one too as well. Comments and notebook templates have a special place in my heart.
Oh yeah, that one too. That's the one that I almost always, when I'm writing a notebook, I end up doing the same six things every time. Import a CSV, figure out what the head is, and then start cleaning up the columns. And it would be nice to have a template for that. It would just be like, here's the, you know, snippet of code that you're going to run.
And what's your favorite feature that already exists? So not one that's coming.
I think IPywidget support is really cool. Maybe because I worked on it, but.
little bias, that's okay. Great.
It'd be nice if I could get it to work in the demo.
Let's try it. We'll shoot our shot.
Here. This is working yesterday. So IPywidgets are these different, yeah, there it goes. There's different JavaScript controls that people have written that interact with the kernel in such a way that, you know, as I drag this around, I don't have to run any more code anymore. It's accessing the kernel to actually get the data. And there's a lot of different widgets that do lots of cool, really cool stuff for graphing. I mean, the map one is pretty. That's why we use it as a demo. But there's a lot of different ones that will do data analysis and data cleanup that are built into these different widgets. And I think they make, you know, your job as a data scientist a lot easier.
Yeah, pandas profiling is definitely a favorite out there. It's a really, really popular one, especially when you're just getting started.
Well, I'm not sure if that one's a widget that might have worked without, maybe.
Mm-hmm. We do have one last question. I do know we have a poll that is about to be pushed out after everything that you've seen today. We would love to know if you guys are willing and likely to try out notebooks. We do have a question, Rich. It says, do we have support for code snippets? And in parentheses, it says templates. So we've kind of already covered this question, but we do have plans to have a separation between templates as well as code snippets. There should be both on there soon.
Yeah, it should just work. I don't have any snippets, but so the way that VS Code, so we used to have a different editor, the new editor that we're working on right now. Each one of these things is considered a VS Code document. So it thinks this is just a Python file. This one little cell is a Python file. So anything that works in a Python file should work in this cell. So you can format it, you can insert snippets, you can do IntelliSense, because as far as VS Code is concerned, it's just another file that's open.
Right.
So snippets will work just fine. The notebook template thing is slightly beyond that because it's not just one per cell. It's just generating a whole bunch of cells from a template.
And Rich, what's the biggest advantage of the fact that each little editor component of the cell behaves like its own file?
I think the biggest advantage is that all the extensions you have here, they just work for the most part. I personally don't use Vim, but I know one of the people on our team does. And if you use Vim, you can use Vim to edit your notebook, which is super cool. I do not know if Jupyter Classic supports Vim or not, but I know that it's super cool for the guy that uses it here at work.
Yeah, so basically every extension that you have available in VS Code should work within the notebook because of this new change that we've made, correct?
Yeah. And then that also means the other thing that, sorry, that also means that people can add new extensions that can do new stuff, that all they really have to do is they'll interact with the document that's basically the cell. They don't really have to know about notebooks.
Yeah. Okay, let's wrap up here. We're almost done. I know that the poll should be up or is up very shortly. We want to know, after learning about, you know, IntelliSense, autocomplete, Gather, diffing, Git and terminal integration, table of contents, interactive window, ability to connect to remote servers. If you guys are excited about all this and if you guys are likely to try out VS Code, we would love to know. Let's have that poll so we can see what everyone's feeling. Just in case that's already gone up and I missed it, I just wanted to thank everybody for coming and asking your questions. We had some really good ones. I love the ones where people are looking into the future. So thanks again for joining us. Appreciate it.
So I can see the results of the poll. I think you have to refresh the Bumble thing.
Let's see. Ooh, 67%, very likely. Great news. Perfect. Well, there's additional resources in the tab below if you want to go ahead and look at those. There's some educational resources there, as well as how you can contact us if you have any other questions or suggestions.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Bye.